Hey, everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler. This week's guest is a bit of an anomaly, I think, but so important. David Fisher is here today. He is an author of, what, you said 8 books on sales and all things sales, sales skills, skills, probably sales mindset, sales process. He's a speaker, he's an author, he's a coach. Today, we're going to talk about the human connection and what that means. Now, most of the listeners for this podcast are top of funnel, meaning we're beginning conversations, we're trying to get our foot in the door, we may build a little bit of rapport, but you know, we hand them off to a quota carrying rep. Or you may be a person that does all roles and you have to build the relationship. So one of my faux pas, David, is that I thought, really, when we're at top of funnel, we don't have to necessarily build these relationships. We can get enough to get by, but it's like duty dating. You know, we try to date as many people as we can to get someone really interested in us, and then we immediately pass them off to someone who actually is going to get engaged and get married. But from what I'm hearing from you, that may not be the case. So I would love for you to talk about, first of all, your new book, and also talk about this whole human connection. And is it used, needed, necessary at all stages in the pipeline, or are there areas where it makes more sense?
Well, thank you for giving me a question to start out that we could talk about 19 hours about, right? That'll be fun to unpack. I think the very short answer is yes, no matter what part of the sales process you are engaged in, the ability to connect with your prospect, with your potential customer as a human, has gone from a nice to have to a need to have. And I really think that it stems from a lot of the changes we're seeing in technology and in the world that we're living in right now, which is very different. You mentioned my latest book, Hyperconnected Selling, which is really looking at this landscape where we have to manage both a digital presence and an offline presence. We have to be able to connect on, again, a digital level, but also as a human, as an empathetic person. Mm-hmm. And I really think that because technology has enabled our buyers, our prospects, to have more information than ever before, and at the same time, have more demands on their attention than ever before. Even if you're a top of funnel person, even if you're doing that first initial outreach, you have to be able to connect on a human level with that person, because if not, they're not going to give you any attention, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to give you that time. That's why I think that no matter what your role is in that sales cycle, spending a little time to think about, wait, how do I connect with people? How do I build an empathetic relationship? How do I build that rapport? Yeah, you might not become best friends with somebody, but you have to, in, I feel, a minute or two, build that old school know, like, and trust, right? With your prospect. And I think that in the past, we could get away with maybe not being as good at that. But in the next 5-10 years, if you don't have those skills, not only are you not going to be successful, I think you're going to be without a job.
So my first question regarding that, I have a ton of questions, but one that sprang immediately to mind is, we talked about technology. Our reliance here in the States on email is just crazy dependence. It's like a codependent thing going on right now.
And you need a 12-step program
for email usage. Yes. But, you know, you mentioned 1 to 2 minutes. 1 to 2 minutes. Is that 1 to 2 minutes on the phone? Is it 1 to 2 minutes in an email? Any type of touch? And what do you do in 1 to 2 minutes that could build rapport?
So I think there's two parts to that answer. One is, I think when we look at engaging with a prospect, we have to look at it more than just a single touch point. I know that's something that you work on. The idea of us being able to just call somebody out of the blue and not only get their time and attention, which is hard enough, as we know, but also then to create a meaningful connection and then get them to take action. I mean, that's hard. So we do have to put into place processes around you know, a sales cadence, for example, and having email touches and phone touches, and you know, social media comes in, and social selling, I think, is important to make sure you're having a presence on a lot of these digital platforms. But then I do think when you actually, let's say, get that conversation with someone, yeah, it only takes 1 or 2 minutes for us to decide. I think it actually takes less than that for us to decide if we actually like a person and want to continue the conversation. You know, use the dating analogy before. If you've ever seen or know somebody who's experienced speed dating, I actually tried that once way back in the day before I was married. And what was really interesting is you can actually decide pretty quickly, do I want to spend more time with this person in a minute or two?
Yeah.
And that being said, I think that there's some skills required to be successful in that. And maybe my point is, I think we need to start putting focus and attention on our sales teams and helping them develop these skills. Or if you're a producer out, you know, doing the work every day, making sure you're improving your skills. Because the computers, again, if you just have a routine job, I can replace that with technology, but I can't replace that human empathy with a bot.
Right, right. The technology helps us with our workflow. It keeps us consistent. It is the cure-all for things so they don't fall through the cracks. Because, you know, you think top of funnel again, we're working with a lot of records. Think of our spinning plates on our fingers, our toes, our head. Those are all segmented sequences that we're trying to figure out. Okay, where are we in our touch sequence? You know, so we've got a lot of juggling to do at top of funnel. So we can rely on technology to help us with the touch counts and making sure we're keeping in touch. What we can't have it do for us is to create that human connection. When we do get the ability to speak with somebody, or we do have a reply to an email or a social touch. So in your books, are there just certain human traits that we can focus on? Because like for me personally, I am super curious. My kids get so embarrassed of me when we're in the airport because right. I love to go up to people and like, what do you do? You know, what kind of work are you doing? You know, so I'm very curious. You know, is that, are traits like that, are there certain behavioral traits that, if I'm sitting here thinking, you know, how can I do this or what should I rely on about me? Are there certain inherent traits that we have that tend to open up the doors a little bit better for a top of funnel or get them to kind of trust us to go that next step if we're, you know, middle of funnel? Does the book talk about things like that of how we can take our already existing, already have born inherited traits and expand on those?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing, and your curiosity has definitely been a boon, I'm sure, throughout your career. And I do talk about the power of curiosity. Actually, I think you can learn curiosity, or at least learn the process of curiosity. I talk about a tool I call the next question, and it's got a TM after that, so you know it's important, right?
Of course.
But it was actually something I learned more on the networking and relationship building side that I've transitioned over to sales, and it works really well. It's the idea of not only being curious, but we have a human habit. When we ask a question and somebody gives us an answer, we tend to respond with a declarative sentence. So if I say, where did you go to school? And you go, I went to school XYZ. I go, oh, I went to school ABC. And then it stops, right? We don't have anywhere. And that's a very natural, very normal thing. Whereas one of the things I teach is the idea of, okay, when you get an answer to a question, ask the next question based on that that response. And it takes a little bit of a practice to be able to do that. But if you say, oh, you went to school at school ABC, what did you major in? Oh, you're biology. Why did you choose that? Or, you know, why did, you know, how did that respond to you? Or why did that resonate with you? It could be as simple as, you know, when did you move to the area here? 5 years ago. Where did you move from? Right. You know, did you do that? And it's actually something great, for parties where you don't know people because you make friends really quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go back to the old Dale Carnegie quote, you can make more friends in 2 months being interested in other people than you can in 2 years getting other people to be interested in you. Right. And so I think the idea of curiosity, and that really stems from this idea of empathy, and it's a word that gets thrown around a lot right now. But what empathy really is the ability for us to look at another person. And in our minds, we are able to understand what they might be thinking or feeling based on their facial expressions, based on their tone of voice, based on the language they use. And it's actually why humans have big brains, because we don't have huge brains to figure out how to build rocket ships. We have them because we had to be able to develop social cohesion, because it helped save us from predators and helped us get food, you know, on. And that's thousands and thousands and thousands of years of developing those skills. And so one of the things I think successful salespeople need to be able to do these days is go, how are my face-to-face interaction skills with a human being? You talked about the fact that we're addicted to email. Email has its purpose point in the sales process, but in the end, we have to communicate face-to-face with other people. Because again, facial expressions, tone of voice, language that we use, expressions, all of these things have really important communication impacts. And if we can't pick up on them, we're going to miss out, right?
Right.
We've all had somebody, a prospect, say one thing to us, and we know that they actually mean something completely different. We don't know why, you know, but, you know, something in their voice. You know, they said that they have to wait till next quarter, but they're not really totally buying into what they're telling us. We don't even know how we know that, but our brains can figure it out. So mm-hmm. leveraging that can be really huge. And the other big thing that I talk a lot about is the idea of creativity, because I think that salespeople are at their core creative, and we don't talk about that a lot, but we make things. We make something exist that never was, right? A deal, an opportunity, something that wasn't there, and we make it. Mm-hmm. But creativity is a skill that can be practiced, and it can be learned. And it's really just about making a connection between two previously unconnected ideas. And so if you can actually go to your prospects and your customers and make these connections for them and go, hey, you might not have thought that you need to talk with our company because of XYZ problem, but actually we can solve that problem for you. And let me give you a great case example of how that happened with another one of our customers, right? And making that connection for them. So I think mm-hmm. yeah, curiosity, empathy, creativity, three things that haven't been talked about in the last few decades in sales are going to become increasingly important.
Well, the term now that's driving me crazy is add value. Add value. Add value. You know, it's just like everyone says add value. Well, what? So what would be my response? He's like, what do you mean by that? You know, is value empathy? Is value creativity? Or is value trying to persuade somebody to notice a gap between where they are now and where they should be with your product?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Value, it's like love or success, you know, like let's define the term. What I think value is in this world where our prospects and buyers have all the information they need. Like, if you really think about it, they don't need you to give them any information. They could go and find it if they wanted to, which is very different. 20 years ago, salespeople were the bringers of knowledge and information. We had the statistics. We had all the specs. They don't need us anymore. They can get that with a quick Google search. Where I think we bring value now is actually helping our prospects parse through all of that information and actually make a better decision. Because the research shows that the more information somebody has to make a decision, the more likely they're going to get a bad outcome from their decision. Mm-hmm. People, they've done this, for example, with investing, with stock investing, that they've done studies where people who have more information about the stocks actually make less money. They get lower returns. The human brain's just we can't process that much information. So if you as a seller can go in there with your creativity, with your empathy, which builds trust, which allows them to then listen to what you're going to tell them and then share your creativity with them, that, and go, hey, here are some possible solutions. As you said, filling in that gap, that's really where I think the value comes in, is basically helping them make a decision faster, helping them make it with less cost, or actually just helping them make a decision and not getting stuck. Right. Because so much of us, you know, one of the biggest objections ever is just like, we're going to keep doing what we've been doing.
Right. Overwhelm, I think, in this day and age is just horrific. If you go look online, yes, you can find a zillion things that about whatever it is you're looking for. But then you start building your own internal, at least I do, my own internal matrix, you know, my little comparative matrix starts getting built inside my head. And then all of a sudden I realize I have like 10 columns by 100 rows. It's like, how can you make a decision based on that?
That's exactly right. I use a B2C analogy that most of us have experience with to show this. If you think about buying a house, there's a lot of complexity to it. You don't do it often in your life. There's some pretty big costs associated with it. Not obviously not only buying it, but also the time, the energy. If you get it wrong, you're going to be unhappy. A good real estate agent isn't giving you a listing of all the houses. They're actually helping you figure out exactly what you want, and you know the best way of getting it and making that process smooth. So you as a seller have to do the same thing, whether that's managing all the different people involved in the sales process, all the different decision makers, whether it's saying, hey, here's all the information. Let me show you the three things that you should be looking at. Hey, have you asked this question about implementation? You know, is there going to be a learning curve? You know, what happened, you know, Your CFO is just going to say, hey, what you have is fine for now. We'll just do that for another 2 years. Here's how to respond back to that CFO. That management of the process, I really think, is where salespeople provide value.
Definitely. And you know, even though we do have the ability to find stuff, not everybody has the time to do the thorough research. So even though, yes, everything's out there for us. A lot of my clients have said to me, thank you so much for finding me. Thank you so much for contacting me. This is an initiative we have to do, but it's just overwhelming the amount of information that we have to know about. And we don't have the resources for it. We just can't do it.
Right. And that's value that you've added, right? You've helped them move forward in a way that they couldn't do without you. And so I think that you have to do that more and more.
Yeah, definitely. So of these three kind of categories or areas, if I wanted to get started really owning this, learning it, practicing it, is there a process, you know, since I'm a process expert, is there a process that I would go about? I mean, could I start relative position in the pipeline? Are there certain spots where it works best, or do I focus on this next question, TM, type of thing where I'm actually, you know, getting something thrown at me and trying to practice answering it with another question.
So it does depend a little bit about where you are in your role. I think the idea of using something like the next question, what's great is everybody can do that. Everybody can use that tool. It works in your professional life, works in your personal life. I think the other place to really look at this is, again, that idea of empathy is looking at not only your sales cadence, but looking at how often am I talking to somebody, either by phone or video or in person, and really focusing on practicing your skills in those environments. And I think for a lot of people, it also helps to get an honest opinion, or at least an honest-ish opinion, usually from a colleague, a friend, not your boss and not your significant other, because those two people actually won't tell you the truth for different reasons. But and say, and saying, hey, I want to get better at, building trust and building relationship with people quickly. What are two or three things that you've noticed I'm really good at? And what are two or three things that you think I could get better at? Okay. Just as far as having a human conversation, it can be challenging with these quote unquote soft skills, because we all inherently have them at some level. We right. just don't think about them. And the biggest thing is just bringing some awareness and some intention into it and then moving forward from there.
Well, I think for us, top of funnel, this would be a beautiful place for the mapping, what I call the mapping call, which we're still doing today, because mm-hmm. even though LinkedIn and all these places gives us roles and titles, I just worked on a project where we defined 32 marketing profiles within one organization. And they were prospect personas. So it's like, okay, great, marketing, but where's that person? So the mapping call allows us to question various people who are in and around the bullseye of the, you know, our desired guy in the middle. And we have people who directly influence him, the next level out, and then yep. the third level out from that are indirect. So the indirect people, the warm referrals, I think would be perfect for practicing this type of role play of the next question, because you're talking to humans at various levels who may not know why you're calling, but you get to understand how to implement this with a variety of different calls. And if you do block time, now we're talking, 40 to 60 phone calls that you're going to initiate that you could practice. And in our world, for those of you who do this type of business development, you're doing this every day. So you're going to get really good, really fast. And then you can start working and marching down the pipeline and adding the technique as you move further into the pipeline. I think that would be great for the top of funnel folks to work on this in a role play environment.
Oh, I love it. And one thing I would say too, and I don't know if this is a process thing or as much as a reminder, is that don't be afraid of those human conversations when they come up, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to become best friends with somebody, but if you see something in a LinkedIn profile, if we were sharing earlier about the idea of you talking to a prospect who had a listing about breweries and you enjoy breweries, you're like, hey, tell me about this beer you had.
Right.
I think sometimes we're afraid of having that conversation or asking that question. And, throughout my career, I found that if you can make that human connection, the business becomes much, much easier. So just having that reminder, hey, I don't have to run away from that. I can connect person to person. And that actually, again, makes for a stronger business call versus a weaker one.
Yeah, definitely. So David, thank you so much for joining us today. For everyone who's listening, the book that we were speaking about today is called Hyperconnected Selling. And David, let us know how we can get a hold of you, where the book is being sold, et cetera. We're going to put a page together with all your stuff on it. And that way they can connect when they're not driving or whatever you guys are doing right now as you're listening to this to get that book. So let us know how, first and foremost, we can get a hold of you and what other books you think would be relevant that you've put together that we can take a look at, especially now with the holidays coming up, lots of reading time. Everybody's getting their book list together. And so if you can give us a help there, that'd be great.
Absolutely. My website is the best place to start. And actually, we've got a landing page specifically for all of your fantastic listeners. That's at davidjpfisher.com/podcast/predictable.
Oh, perfect.
So you can get all of my contact information there. You can also find me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/IMDFish, IAMDFISH, and on Twitter at DFishRockstar. And I would encourage you, your listeners, to reach out. Love to connect, love to talk to people, love to talk sales and how to use these skills to actually get better results. And all of my books, there's this website that I think has got some legs called Amazon.
Yes, I think we kind of know about that a little bit. Yeah.
So all my books are available there. You can just search Hyperconnected David J.P. Fisher, and they're on Kindle, audio, and paperback.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for attending the podcast today. And also for everyone listening, these are the skills, as David mentioned, We are in a very hyper automated environment right now. Technology is available for practically everything, but the human connection and the ability to leverage technology where it makes sense and use your humanness in the rest of that spot is still something that we really need to work on. And let's face it, I don't know about you guys, but I've seen just over the last 9 months, people are starting to crave that human interface again. Even face-to-face is coming back. Trade shows are, you know, becoming good again. So don't lose sight of the fact that this is ebbing and flowing. We have multiple tools in our arsenal, but our voice, our being, our person is at the core of all of that. David, thank you so much again for hanging out with me today. Very much appreciate your time.
Had a blast. Thanks for having me.